Well, I hope last week's episode inspired you to add more video into your business. If not, no worries, as today's episode will, as we're going to be focusing on how to increase your lead count. By the end of this episode, if you still don't feel inspired to add video into your business, well, then you must hate leads. Just kidding. We love you. If you're new to the show, my name is Tom Moffitt, and I'm joined by my good buddy, business partner, and co-host, Brandon Love. Whether you're new in the industry or a seasoned vet, you will get specific takeaways from every episode as we strive to make this focused and granular. Let the Commission Breath podcast be your tool to growing your mortgage business. So with all that being said, let's get right into it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Commission Breath. This is part two of a two-part series on using video in your business. Today, Tom and I are going to talk all about lead gen. So let's get right into it, Tom.
Absolutely. So as a recap, the last week we had part one, which was all about client journey. So today we're really going to focus on lead gen. Some of the topics on the client journey overlapped a little bit with lead gen, but this one's going to be just on lead gen. And these are some of the practices that we have done personally. None of it is stuff we haven't tested and tried in our business. So it's not just we're taking it from something we've heard about that might work. This stuff actually works.
Exactly. And really the reason we are so heavy on video is, number one, it just allows you to really stand out from other banks and other brokers as well. Banks aren't doing anything in video. Some other brokers are, but it separates you from the pack if you can get very good at it. And number two, it builds your brand. We don't have these big physical offices. 90% of us, I would say, aren't meeting clients face-to-face anymore. So having that video component adds a personal layer to things, builds a brand, and builds trust with those clients.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, if we're all virtual, we have to differentiate ourselves from like the online rate discount sites. And we touched on this on part one, but having that video at least puts a face to the name for clients during the client journey specifically. And even on social media, like if you're non-existent on that, you don't have video on it, you're really pushing yourself down from the rest of the crowd that's growing. So let's start off with point number one. So Friday emails, this is for our realtor partners, and we've touched on this in various episodes, but just as a recap and a couple more tidbits and tactics that we use for our Friday emails, we're going to go through that now. So Brandon, why don't you take us away with that first point?
Yeah. So Friday email, you're going to take your whole realtor database, anyone you've met with, anyone who's okay with you sending them an email. And we use YAM, yet another mail merge. So YAM spelled with two M's. And you put it in Google Drive or Excel, whatever, and you can export from there. And you're sending it one-to-one. So it looks like, hey, first name, 1 to 2 sentences, and then a video talking about your point. So for instance, you could say, hey, here's how to use the second home program and have your clients buy a second home with as little as 5% down payment. And then you provide the video. The realtors get it. They watch the video. If they have any clients they might think is a fit for it, it's a great way for them to send those leads back to you.
Yeah. And YAM specifically for Gmail, by the way. So anyone that uses Outlook, I don't think you can use YAM. Maybe they've developed different component for that, but I'm pretty sure it's just Gmail. But what I like to do with mine too is I like to sprinkle in a mix of content. So it won't just be about mortgage stuff. Some realtors love the mortgage strategy, some of the tips and tricks that you can teach them. It also shows them that you know what you're talking about when it comes to mortgages. So you're really defining yourself as an expert in the field. So I sprinkle that in. I also talk about social media tips for the realtors specifically. So that way I'm covering a wide spread of topics. So that way some of them are like, I don't even care about this mortgage stuff. I'm just going to tune this out. Maybe they're more on the social media side. And maybe this realtor over here is more on the mortgage side of things. So I do like to diversify a little bit. And I'll even plug in like any strategies that are working in my business, like database marketing or anything like that, I'll also include in there. I think you're the same too, right, Brandon?
Yeah, exactly. I fluctuate on what my actual content is based on. And just a note on content, because a lot of people hear this and they're like, oh, how do I come up with these ideas for every week of the year? Or like, where am I going to come up with all these videos or record these videos? A point there is you can recycle some of your content. So for instance, every year, around February, I post saying, remind your clients to send updated T4s. That's evergreen content that you could reuse the same video. I record a fresh one. That same content, just put it on a calendar. Things come up like that, that you can constantly revisit. And to give you an example, last night I was on a call with a realtor and I've done that previously mentioned second home program with clients of hers before. She completely forgot about it. And I walked her through again how it works. And then now I know for my Friday video this week, that's something I'm going to touch on again, because it's relevant to people in the spring market who maybe they want to help a family member out, or maybe they're planning their summer and they're looking at cottage rentals and thinking, hey, maybe I would like to buy one of these cottages. It just kind of sparks the curiosity for people and gets some of those leads coming in.
Yeah, exactly. And write down all of these ideas that come through your head during the week. Like, you'd be surprised how many ideas pop in your head, whether it's the mortgage stuff or the social or any tips that you think would be relatable to your realtor partners. What I do is I have the notes app open in my phone throughout the day. If something comes to mind, I'll just plug it in there. And that way, when it comes to recording your Friday video, you have so many points to pick from that you'll never really have the issue of trying to think of what content to use for that day. And I see that as a common trend with other agents, is they complain, like, not complain, but they struggle with coming up with ideas. And I think that's just because they don't think about it through the week. And then they sit down and they're like, crap, what do I do? So I think that's a really cool tip that you can implement right now for ideas.
Exactly. Anything that people ask you a question on, write it down. Anything a realtor texts you about, hey, can you clarify this? Write it down. Things like bridge financing, what documents are needed, all these questions you're going to get over and over again. These are great content pieces to do.
Yeah. And this is more of like a, I don't even want to say social tip, but more of like a copywriting tip. When you do these video topics, some of them might seem boring, like bridge financing, for example. Like, to me, like, it's a boring topic, but you can really make it into an interesting video by having a different hook or creating a story, like a client win or something that you did that saved a client like $10,000. You can start off the video by saying, hey, I just saved a client $10,300 this week by doing this, and then get into like how you did that for bridge financing. So don't just be like 25 versus 30 year amortization. What does that mean? Like, make it interesting.
Yeah. That's a great point, Tom, is to always have a story component if you can. Obviously, if you haven't done something and you're trying to get some more of that in your business, it's hard to have a relatable story, but you can share a story of another broker and just say, someone in my brokerage.
Yeah.
People don't really care at the end of the day. It's the story they're drawn to. So share, hey, here's how we use this. We were able to have the client get a home closer to their grandkids, and it was done with 5% down payment, something like that. Like, it's so easy to draw people in, and then stories allow people to build the human connection, which they think about, hey, this can be relevant for so-and-so. And all of a sudden they're making a connection, and that's a new lead for you.
Yeah. And keep the video short too. Like, don't drag it on. If it takes you two or three takes, just do it. Like, this is going to be a high leverage activity with a low input. So take a bit more time. I'm not saying sit there and try to do like 20 takes, but if it's like a 5-minute video, I would recommend doing less. I've done longer ones here and there, but I typically try to keep it like quick, to the point, and something that they can take away for their business or something they can learn.
Yeah, a sweet spot, I would say, kind of 1 to 2 minutes. Yeah. I've even tested saying, hey, here's 90 seconds on how this could help your business.
Yeah.
Because then they know, okay, I'm going to click this video. It's not going to be like a 10-minute YouTube video. It's going to be a quick 90 seconds, a ton of value. And you could even put a suggestion, if you're in a hurry, increase your watch speed. Things like that, just make people think, okay, I'm going to get a lot of value very quickly from this. It really increases the odds of them opening it, clicking it, and going forward.
And that was actually one of the reasons why I stuck around with BombBomb for so long, because they have this cool like little banner that goes across the bottom of the video that shows you how long the video is. So if it's a 53-second video, it'll say click to play 53-second video. And that's what I loved about that. But I also realized I'm paying like an extra $400 a year just for that, where I could just maybe just mention it in the subject line above it.
Yeah.
Speaking of subject lines, make an enticing subject line for the realtor to open the email. Like, don't just make it boring and bland. Like, here's how to learn bridge financing. Like, have something that's impactful, have some curiosity in there, and have them want to click that. And you'll kind of learn this as you go with the emails too. You're not going to be perfect right away, but it's something that I've been trying to develop as a skill over the last couple of years.
Yeah. And if you get that YAM tool, you can see your conversion rate on both opens and then clicks. And that's a great way to test, okay, what was the subject line that worked? What did I put there that actually made them want to click? And take 10 minutes, look at this data points, because you'll get a lot of insights, and you just want to week after week iterate and get better and better. Your first 10 to 20 aren't going to be good. Don't beat yourself up about it. Just keep doing it and you will get better. Get used to your face. Quit pointing out your flaws. Like, you'll recognize, hey, you're bald. Who gives a shit? Just post the video. It's all going to be good. And this will generate a ton of business for you.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll say about email subject lines, like, if you want to learn about it, like, I talk about YouTube all the time, but just search it on YouTube, man. Like, there's so many training and resources out there for free. You can learn in 20 or 30 minutes and really up your skills on email subject lines, which will increase your click-through rate, which will increase your watch time with realtor partners, which then leads to more leads. So it's all part of the snowball effect.
Exactly. And that skill of creating better subject lines is really going to help you with point number two as well. And that is your database mining. We talk about database mining a lot as something you need to do, looking for deals that could fit in your current clients, looking for opportunities for them. And this really, like, when you say deals and things like that, it sounds bad, but what we're looking for is opportunities to provide value to our clients. So if I say, hey, you know what? Rates have come down considerably. It's a great opportunity for you to refinance and save a ton of money. We'll do the budget. If it makes sense, we do it. If it doesn't, who cares? You're looking for that opportunity to connect with the client, and that's where the lead comes from, right? Leads is conversations. It's not always going to be lead to close file.
Yeah. So what would be one effective database marketing campaign that you've done before with video?
So I would start with a story, as always. So I would go, hey, it's middle of January. One of my clients felt the pinch of finances. Her husband had gotten laid off mid-year. He was a union worker. They overspent on Christmas and didn't really budget for it. So they were getting killed with consumer debt. Here's how we were able to use a refinance, actually pay out all those debts, lower their monthly payment, and get them a better rate at the end of the day. I just kind of whited out all the names. I walked through the budget and it generated a ton of leads for me.
Beautiful. And who did you send that to? Was that your master list or did you try to pick through who you think this would apply to?
So I did it in two parts. So I sent one to my entire realtor database as a loom. You never know. Sometimes they'll get a client coming to them and says, hey, we're really stressed. We need to sell the home. And here's why. And if they're good realtors, not only looking out for their commission, they might say, are you happy in that home? That's a reasonable question to ask. And the client would say, yeah, we love it here, but we're super strapped. Then they say, hey, let's explore this opportunity first before you go sell your home and uproot your life just because you're feeling the pressure of some debts. The other avenue that I took was I sent it to some past clients who I've done this before, this debt consolidation for, and I sent this template email to them because some people have bad spending habits as patterns that they constantly do. And so in that case, yes, a lot of them were in that distressed position again. So we could just rinse and repeat.
And I'd be willing to bet if you tested that, not that you'd want to because you want a high conversion rate, but if you tested that without video and had the information in like a body of text in that email, I bet you the conversion rate would be far less than having that video embedded in there because you're able to explain things better and clearer and put more of your energy and personality into that video versus like a body of text in an email.
For sure. And you need the story and you need to highlight why the penalty made sense, why it actually helped the people, not just, hey, we did a refinance, we paid out their debts, everyone's happy. It doesn't make sense for a lot of people. The story is key.
Yeah. And so an example that I can give too is we've touched on this in one episode, like early on. So I do Bank of Canada updates. And the way I do that is not just like a simple, like I'm subscribed to a lot of mortgage agent and brokers emails. And it's always like the templated, there's like two or three that circulate from main brokerages. And they just like automatically push it to their database. And it's just like the jargon in it. And the wording is so complicated for the average consumer that it's like, it just goes right over people's heads. And instead of doing that, I really simplify the language and show people like, this is how it affects you if you have a fixed, variable, adjustable rate or a line of credit. Here's the implication to you if the Bank of Canada, whether they held, decreased or increased. I showcase that in the email and the body. And then I also do that video overview of it, giving my thoughts on it. And usually I actually have like a bit of a longer video on that, usually 3 to 5 minutes. And then for there, I'll do two separate blasts. I'll do an email blast out to my realtor partners and I'll ask them, hey, share this to your database. It's some useful information. It gives a whole breakdown as to what is going on with the Bank of Canada and the market and inflation, whatever I'm talking about in that video. And they'll share that to their database. And then I'll blast it out to my master database as well.
Yeah. And this is a great way you can blast this to the master database. You can also use this as an opportunity to segment. So I segment my clients fixed and variable. And sometimes I'll send a very specific, like, hey, these are your adjustable rate clients. These are the variable ones. And I send a very specific, this is what's going on for your scenario. And they feel like, holy crap, you recorded this video just for me. I use Yam again. So it's one-to-one talking specifically about the type of mortgage they have. And it's a ton of value, right? You're just providing value to them. And you might be saying, how does this create leads for me? It's like, well, clients love this experience of when the whole world is going to shit, you're checking in on them, you're looking out for them. Even if it's not good news, you're saying, hey, I have your back. I'm going to be here, good times and bad.
Yeah.
And when someone in their office complains about their bank not following up with them or complains about their broker not touching base, they'll be like, hey, my broker just sent this video to me. And I've had clients forward this to someone else who then reaches out to me and says, hey, can you look out for my renewal when it comes up? So you're creating opportunities that way.
Dude, they will forward that email to friends and family.
Yeah.
Like, I've had it happen before. So you're tapping into your database and then they're sending out to their network as well, which is why I love the realtor component to it too.
Exactly. That network effect really starts to compound, especially once you get hundreds of clients in that orbit. You never know what's going to set off with what's going on in the whole world news-wise. Like, you can have like kind of a mini viral experience of really pointed data going towards these people and creating a marketing campaign that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Number three within this database mining one is to do a rate drop update. If you have clients who are pre-approved, one of the biggest things I hate is like, you pre-approve someone and they'll be like, hey, I got a lower rate here, like a month later, and you're like, yeah, I got a lower rate for you too. It just like the passage of time, rates have changed. So send those rate drop updates periodically to your pre-approved clients and just let them know that the landscape has changed. See if anything to update with them. It just keeps you top of mind, keeps you fresh on their page. And, you know, at the end of the day, you just want them coming back to you when they do finally find that property that works.
Yeah, exactly. The rate drop email is super efficient and effective. And it even ties into two episodes ago when we're talking about the stickiness of our clients. Having this embedded in there definitely helps. And you can do that video along with the rate drop. Like, you could have an explanation as to like what the rate drop is and how much they're saving. And you could even go over their budget again and show them the difference of their old payment versus their new payment. I've done that and it crushes.
Yeah, super sticky. People love it. And once again, this just creates leads because then they go, hey, my broker lowered the rate. He saved me this much money. He sent me a video. It's like, oh, it's so great compared to like, oh, I went to RBC. I did the 30-second pre-qualification and no one's talked to me for 7 weeks.
I actually just had that happen this week, but it wasn't a bank. It was actually someone that referred me over. A past client of mine, he referred me to a friend of his that he works with, and he was already approved, like full approval on a home he just purchased. And it was through a broker. And I don't normally get those all the time. So I was like, okay, I'll hop on a call with you, like see what's going on at least. And he gave me a full rundown. And it turns out like where he's at right now, he's in a good spot. This is kind of like a bit of a tangent, but I'll go into it. So I don't like stealing brokers' business. The only time I'll do it is if they're doing a disservice to their client. But even if they are and they just don't understand it, I'll give them a call and say like, hey, like I recommend doing this and just don't steal their business. But in this case, like they were doing a good job for their client. The reason why the client reached out to me is because he had doubt on the options the broker was giving them. So make sure you're giving more than one option with their lenders. Like when you're presenting lender options to a client, don't just say, hey, here's Scotia. This is why we're going to them. There you go. A lot of brokers don't even explain why. They just give them the approval. Make sure you outline at least one or two more lenders because it's going to eliminate that seed of doubt. And that's why this guy came to me because he was wondering, like, is there better rates? Is there a better opportunity for me to go to a different lender? I don't know how I got on this tangent, but please show different options to clients, not just one.
Exactly. No, I think that's a great idea. Like I'm a little bit different than you. I will always see if I can provide more value just to win the business because I think it's a competitive world we live in. But you know what? I admire that you are so kind to everyone else.
Yin and yang,
so,
brother.
Yeah. Closing that out, there's opportunities to use this in drip campaigns. If you have it built out with your CRM, you can do this. We don't do it. We find it's very impersonal and we're not huge fans of it. But if your business is built on drip campaigns, just swap out some commonly used emails with videos and it will crush better for you.
Yeah, I used to do drip campaigns and I actually did it for my realtor partners. Like I would have a series of, I think it was about 30 to 40 videos in BombBomb. And that's why I was using BombBomb to use the automated video emails. And I would just drop them into the campaign. But it's so obvious that it's an automated email. So I got rid of that pretty quick. And I'm not opposed to drip campaigns. I just think they're impersonal. And if you're doing it incorrectly, it can really just rub people the wrong way and disregard you. You can get unsubscribes like crazy. So I don't touch drip campaigns anymore. I dabbled with them for maybe like the first year or two in my business. And I just said, see you later. I'm not even doing this anymore.
Yeah, I just got back from a week away and I got so many drip campaign emails that my autoresponder responded to. And then it was like, no reply to this email. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to unsubscribe. Put me on a stupid drip campaign. So many people got unsubscribed this week.
Brutal, man.
Purge the inbox of you.
I'm under the impression that it's less is more in today's world. Like having really high quality personal touch points versus like a mass amount of touch points per year. I would much rather that than just shitty content and emails being pushed to my database.
100%. Okay. Last point is one that we think really works. Both of us have gotten leads from it. It takes a bit of time. So if you're not busy working on files or you feel like you have a lull in your business and you just want to try something new, this is one to add to your rotations. Just time block for it. Commit the time you're doing it. And that is looking for questions. So be it on Facebook, Reddit, X, Threads, whatever platform, look for questions that are being asked and answer them with a video. An example would be like Reddit. Hey, I got this massive penalty for my mortgage. Hop on your Loom. You record a quick video explaining mortgage penalties. See if maybe the client didn't look to port their existing option and then say, did you look into porting? Because here's how you could port your mortgage, save some money that way. If you want to chat about it, here's a link and book a call with me. Your conversion rate is going to be very low. You're going to record a lot of these videos that no one responds to, no one likes, etc. No one even watches some of the time, but it does get you really good at answering these types of questions and leads will come from it if you're persistent with it.
Yeah, that's just the side benefit to it is you're building up your video muscle and you're just getting on camera, building that up, and you're doing a lot of them per day. And they're evergreen too. Like some of these threads are there for a while, so people can reference it in the future, which is pretty cool. Like I used to get leads off of Reddit and I went on it, I want to say for maybe like 6 months at a time back in the day. And I just didn't like being on Reddit. So that's why I actually stopped doing it, is because like I found Reddit, depending on the communities you're in, people can be pretty like hateful, negative. And it just kind of like put me in a bad mood. So it's like, I don't even want to be on this platform anymore. I used to own this thread called Mortgages in Canada, I believe I named it. And I passed the torch to another couple brokers. Shout out to them if they listen to the podcast. But I used to get leads through them and I would just post videos on there and answer people's questions with the videos too. So it does work.
Yeah, it definitely works. I felt the same way about Reddit, that the community is kind of negative. Facebook's a little bit easier if you can get on the topic. It's also helpful if you have like a realtor partner who's on like a mom's group or a dad's group and someone's asking questions there. You can say, hey, if you see a question, let me know. I'll provide the value to you. You can either share my video directly or you can take my topic points, record your own and post it there. So it gives them a lead gen tool as well, which then if they win with that, they're very likely to send that deal to you.
Yeah, you can really go all in on that. And I did this past year. Shout out to Sandra. We did that to her mom's group that she's part of. And she posted a thread or a question in the group saying like, hey, what's your biggest mortgage questions? And a lot of them had questions on porting. So I was like, okay, cool. And she wanted to take it up a notch and do Instagram Live. So we did that. And then she reposted it to the Facebook group individually to all these people that asked the porting questions. So it works.
I love it. That's a great strategy and also a great Friday video to send out.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Write it down.
There you go. So there's a lot of different ways to inject video into your lead generation strategy. We touched on a few today, but I'm sure those of you listening have others that you do. Please share those with us because this podcast at the end of the day is really an incubator for ideas. We're sharing everything we are working on, feedback we get from the community, we iterate and expand our ideas, which then we share back with you. So it's just that great feedback loop. If you are new to the show, go back, listen to some past episodes and all of this will make sense to you. And if you're a frequent listener, please take a moment and leave us a review. It really helps us and we really appreciate it.
Absolutely. See you guys next week.
Cheers.